Politics.
Terrorism.
World hunger.
The war in Iraq.
The fight to cure cancer.
And the answer to that universal question, why?
Yeah, we're not going to talk about any of that on this show.
Those things are complex.
Those things require research and analysis.
Those things are boring.
Now, reruns of Beverly Hills 90210.
iPods that hold up to 500,000 songs.
The downfall of the peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
And Eric Estrada, why was he ever a star?
These things are stupid, pointless, and irrelevant.
In short, they're the things that mean something.
It's Things That Matter with Mike and Nev. Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Nevin Barrich, he's Michael Feldman, and it's Things That Matter. What are things that matter? The things that matter to you. We are talking about thank you cards. You like thank you cards, Mike?
Sure, why not?
Well, here's the thing. I do not like thank you cards.
Oh, is that right?
I hate thank you cards.
Why is that?
Well, I'm going to tell you why, because here's really the fundamental question you deal with, okay? Are thank you cards a beautiful tradition that must continually be honored as we evolve as a society, or are they a barbaric practice that must end? And I'm of the latter opinion.
Wow.
Well, here's my thing. You get a gift, okay? You get a gift, you know, let's say you're at a wedding, and you get pot holders, okay? I actually gave a friend of mine pot holders, you know, for their wedding. It was on their registry gift. You know, they were nice pot holders. They were like, you know, the ones that hold up to 2,800 degrees.
Wow.
I didn't even know there were ovens that got up to 2,800 degrees.
Well, you know, I mean, it's one of those things, maybe there isn't, but it's nice to know that it's there.
It's true. It's like life insurance.
Exactly.
Nice to know it's there.
Exactly.
But so I get my friends pot holders, okay?
Okay.
And, you know, here's the, I mean, they're $30, okay? It's a cheap gift. I didn't have a lot of money, you know, and when I sent the gift, I wrote them and I said, guys, I do not want you writing me a thank you card because it's a $30 pot holder gift. I mean, it's cheap. It's nothing. I'm getting it because I'm cheap. You know, I'm giving it to you because I'm cheap. It doesn't work, you know? And so what happens? Dear Nevin, thank you for the lovely pot holders you sent us. They really means a lot that you sent it to us and that you were there on a special day.
And the, you know, there was like a picture of a bear or something on the cover.
Exactly.
Stuff, right?
It's a stupid picture. I think it was snow-capped mountains.
Oh.
And it's ridiculous. I mean, in my opinion, okay, I think thank you cards are antiquated. Okay? If I give you a gift or you give me a gift, I know you're thankful.
Right.
Okay? You can say thank you. You could, you know, send me an email saying, hey, Nev, thanks. The end. Okay, I do not need a handwritten note that's going to take you 5 to 10 minutes in cursive writing, and nobody writes in cursive anymore.
Cursive?
Cursive.
What's that?
Exactly. That's my point.
What?
That is my point.
Now, wait a second, though. Now, how would you feel if someone emailed you an online thank you card?
I'd have no problem with it.
Aha. Uh-huh.
I haven't. Now, and it's funny because I think a lot of people would. A lot of people think that's impersonal, that, you know, they deserve a handwritten note. But the thing is, in society, when is the last time you've written anything handwritten that wasn't a check?
I mean, good point.
It's a point. I mean, we are moving forward. And I hate when people say, oh, well, it's not handwritten and email is impersonal. It's not impersonal. It's just the way society has gone to. It's
Indeed.
How it's evolved.
It's not like you're using a feather, you know, quill kind of thing.
Exactly.
You know.
Dipping it in. Yeah. Right in. Dipping it back in again. It's insane. Okay, so that's my personal thinking.
Right.
Okay? I think thank you cards are antiquated. I think they're unnecessary. When I was 13, I had to do it for my bar mitzvah. This was almost 16 years ago, but the pain is still there. I mean, I have to write each little one. You know,
Thank
you, Aunt Alice. I would have an Aunt Alice, but if I had an Aunt Alice, thank you. Actually, I think I did have an Aunt Alice.
That's good.
I think she's passed on now, but she gave you a lot of money.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
You know, I got by.
Are you all right?
I am now.
I mean, can we continue with the show?
I'm glad I just got it off my chest.
Okay, good.
And
okay.
Alice, if you're with us, I think you are dead, so hope you're listening wherever you are. Anyways,
okay.
So writing that thank you card, I mean, it takes a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Your hands start to hurt, and I'm a writer. I know about these types of things. I mean, and for what? So they can – these people who gave me the gifts can know something that they should already know, that I'm thankful that you were there, that I'm thankful that you gave me a gift that I asked you to give me because it was on some registry. That's just my feeling.
Now, I mean, you understand that all of this stuff, this is all Hallmark. You know, this is all the card companies trying to, you know, or do you think
Well,
not?
Here's the thing. I mean, do you think that, you know, and I know there's a theory behind Hallmark, you know, that they're behind Valentine's Day. They're behind Mother's Day and Father's Day. And then I can understand. Those, I think, are Hallmark-generated holidays. You know, they get a bunch of money. You got to buy cards. And now they have these, you know, the bigger cards or the big stuffed bears. I mean, now you have the Hallmark gift cards, you know, the little gift bags
that
I personally love, to be honest with you, because I don't wrap gifts like most guys. I mean, like, if you ever go, like, on Christmas to a mall and you see, like, you know, these gift wrapping, you know, kiosks filled with men, 30, 35, 40 deep. You know, gift cards are gift wrapping for men. That just my view. But I think with thank you cards were around long before Hallmark. I don't think we can blame Hallmark for this thank you card tradition that has kind of popped up.
Yeah, you know? I mean, maybe like the ancient Egyptians or something.
Exactly. But, maybe they started it. Maybe when they built the pyramids, they sent a little note to the Jews, you know, saying thanks on the slide because, you know, they were slaves at the time. Not so much, you know, right, so I mean, but maybe that's where it started. Maybe it was the Egyptians, you know, that started writing little thank you cards in, like, you know, little stones. They have the stone thing back then that kind of chisel in, you know, thank you notes with their language. I mean, so it's just my view. I think it's time we moved on. Yep. Either we stop it entirely, either, you know, we move on to more of an email form. Mm. And I think these people who get offended by saying something in an email, get over it, move on, accept the fact that we're growing as a society, we're more electronic, we're more technological, people need their news or information now, send it over through the World Wide Web. That's my view. And here's another thing, Mike.
Sure.
Okay. Did you ever, you know, I hate when people sign my name to a card. Right. You know, do you have this problem? Because you're the youngest in your family. You must have had a lot of experiences with this.
Absolutely.
You know, people saying, you know, your family and Michael for something you had nothing to do with.
Right. Absolutely. You know, even better, often, you know, my parents would like draw a little symbol of me, like a little stick figure and stuff, you know, that kind of thing.
That's ridiculous.
See?
I mean, it's like, because they know that, you know, the person who's receiving this card, you have nothing to do with this.
Right.
You know, like, I give cards, you know, my parents' name, you know, love Bob, love Joyce, my sister's name, Blake, and Nevin. And you know someone's signing my name. And I actually had some experience with this recently, you know, at the age of 28. My sister's best friend, April, I think last year around Christmas time, gave birth to her first child. It was a baby boy.
Oh, congratulations.
You know, her and her husband, Jay, if you're listening, you're probably not. But if you are, congratulations. Hope the boy's doing well. Can't remember his name. But anyways, so a couple months after the birth, I get a card from them.
Okay.
So, and it was a very long card. A very long, of course, handwritten, cursive writing, you know, as is the style. Little symbol. I think this card actually did have a bear.
Okay.
A little baby bear, you know, symbolizing the baby's birth. Okay. And it says, "Dear Nevin, thank you for the baby clothes that you got for our little boy." And going on and on about how useful it is, how thoughtful it was to really help them, you know, in these, you know, first few precious months of life. And I'm reading this and I feel like a jerk because I had nothing to do with these clothes. And but more importantly, they know I have nothing to do with these clothes. They know I was not involved in the buying.
Right.
I was not involved in the decision making. I don't have the first clue on what a little baby boy needs. I don't know. When I was 3 months old, you know, my parents did everything for me, like all babies. So, and to me, I thought to myself, you're wasting time writing a note that you could be spending with your child in the formative years. I have to read this thing and feel horrible that I had nothing to do with this. It's lose-lose on both sides.
Indeed, indeed.
You know, it really is.
I completely agree with you on this. You know, the thank you card thing, I think we have clearly here come to a great conclusion about thank you cards, and that is this. Back when the ancient Egyptians wrote those early thank you cards that we apparently somehow know about. To our good friends the Jews. There was a really compelling reason, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is that they had just done slave labor for Lord knows how many years and had made clearly huge architectural innovations.
That stands to this day.
Right? Unbelievable stuff. This is great, okay? There was a good reason. They saw those you know, tablets or whatever with the hieroglyphics. They were happy, right? That meant something to them. I mean, the Egyptians had built something for them.
Absolutely.
Right, to do it.
Absolutely.
A potholder. Not so much.
It's not really the same.
Not the same value.
You know,
so, guys, here's the deal, okay? If you're given a thank you card to someone who is, you know, maybe lost a leg for you, or maybe, you know, has given you something far beyond what you could ever have had, you know, had on your own, okay, that's cool, right?
That thank you card is warranted.
And
if it's a handwritten note,
indeed,
I think all the better.
Perhaps even signed in your own blood. That's all.
You know, for a leg, I that makes sense.
You know, it's all good. Potholders, you know, baby clothes, not so much.
It's just it's a smaller thing, you know. And it's again, it just really works both ways because, you know, the person who's writing the thank you card has to really know, okay, you know what? this thing really isn't that important, okay?
Right.
It's a little small thing. I shouldn't have to write a handwritten thank you note for this particular item. But on the other side, okay, the person who gave that pot holder has to know that he or she should not expect a handwritten cursive writing thank you note in return.
What we are here today to do, ladies and gentlemen, is to say to all of you who write thank you cards for things like mittens or for things like giant robots that you buy from the toy stores.
I have to have a couple of giant robots, you know, in my house, actually.
Do you really?
I actually do. I mean, I'm kind of a closet robot freak, you know, a little. I mean, it's a kid in me. What can I say?
Yeah, you learn something new every day.
There you go.
So, but anyways, to all those people out there who do stuff like that, think about the value of what you're giving the thank you card for, okay? Think about what you're doing, because clearly here, there's a problem. There's a problem.
It's a big problem.
There's a societal problem, and you need to really figure out for yourself whether your gift of sneakers is really worth, you know, is really worth
buying sneakers for people. I mean, that's a valid question. Who buys sneakers? I mean, has anybody beyond your parents, you know, when you were 6 or 7, ever bought you shoes? I mean, I've always bought my own shoes.
No, I believe not. I believe
you
not.
You know, so if you're, I don't know, maybe if you're getting sneakers, maybe that does deserve a thing.
Maybe you're right.
That's
you're right. Yeah, okay.
That's in the
all
baby
right. Bad
pile.
Example.
But
bad
that
example.
Is...
Okay. If that gift of a cashmere scarf.
Well, that's not the cashmere.
So maybe what we're saying here is what we need to do.
I like your potholder thing better. That makes more sense.
Fine. But maybe what we need to do then, Nevin, is figure out exactly what things merit thank you cards, what items truly merit thank you cards, and what level of thank you card the thing
ooh,
should merit.
That's a whole other discussion.
Yes.
That level of
yes,
thank you
and
cards.
Perhaps in our next episode.
In our next episode,
we
can discuss
this.
A level of thank you cards.
So,
well, you know, I'd like to share another experience with thank you cards just really fast.
Sure, sure.
You know, a good friend of mine, Reggie, got married to a beautiful girl, Anna, back in March.
Congrats, guys.
Hey, guys, you know, I hope that everything's doing well over in Sacramento. And really, when I asked him, I said, you know, where are you guys registered at? You know, and Reddy tells me, he's like, you know what, Nevin? I mean, to be really honest, if you send us some cash, that'd be great. And I have no problem with that because it prevents me from having to find a gift, and more than likely, I would have gotten him a gift card somewhere anyway. You know, so it works out well. So I send him the cash, and when I'm writing in the card, you know, this is not a thank you card. This is a gift card. You know, a wedding. You know, here's your gift card. So it's a little different. I said, you know what, here's the money, and I gave my little speech again. I do not want a thank you card, you know, and I even wrote, I said, you know, guys, do whatever you want with this money. If you want to have sex on this money, feel free, whatever floats your boat. You know what happened? I got a thank you card.
Oh.
And it was just another generic thank you card. Another generic thing, you know, thank you so much for the money. This will really come in handy. It was like 50 or 75 bucks, which in the grand scheme of things, it's not going to buy you a house in California.
They probably spent it all in one place.
They probably did, you know, and maybe they did have sex on that money, which may have ruined the money. I don't know.
Ooh.
You know, I don't know how that really works. But, I mean, it goes back to kind of the same argument. It's like, you know, is that really something that warrants a handwritten note?
Right.
With the little bears on the card? I don't think so. I don't think it's worth it. And it was a big wedding. You're talking about close to 100 people.
Wow. That's
close to 100 thank you cards. That's a lot. I mean, it takes an afternoon.
Wow.
And then again, formative marital years. You know, couple needs to spend, I'm serious now. I mean, couple has to spend this time together. They should not spend it writing thank you cards that you don't need.
So, ladies and gentlemen, what we are here today to say is we need a social revolution when it comes to thank you cards. And Nevin and I, Mike, will be happy to lead this revolution.
You know, I'm ready to go.
We are going to, you know what we're going to do?
We're going to attack the Egyptians first, starting up this idea. Okay, that's okay. It's one idea, but you go ahead.
I think we need to talk about this before we do the revolution. But once we're on the same page, and, you know, hopefully it won't involve attacking Egyptians.
Well, we can discuss offline.
I think that was ancestors, not so much the people now.
But we can discuss offline.
Okay,
I mean,
fine.
You know.
Okay. But anyways, what we're gonna you know, say here, guys, is really, really think. Okay, really think about what you're doing with thank you cards. It's not always worth it.
It's
okay,
very true.
It can ruin a marriage.
It can. Or a birth. So there you go.
It's terrible.
So there you go. So now I want to do first, before we move on, yeah, I want to give a shout out to our sponsor. Mike and Nev is sponsored by nevdog.blogspot.com. Nevdog.blogspot.com is the only blog in the blog universe that tells it like it is. nevdog.blogspot.com. Check it out. Learn something. I'm going to tell you that right now. And we would you know, plug your blog, Mike, if you had a blog.
Well, I likely will, Nevin. I'll be working on that in the upcoming weeks.
It's not that hard.
Oh, I know it's not.
You just sign up.
I'm well aware.
And you just write something. And in fact, it's funny to me, like, how many people have blogs. And you know, a lot of these on these blogs, they don't say anything. Or right, they post other people's, you know, stuff, their jokes and so forth. I don't get that.
Okay.
You know, but nevdog.blogspot.com offers a definite, you know, other perspective in some of the what people consider the mundane things of life. I consider those things to be the most important because the things that affect us every day.
That's right.
Nevdog.blogspot.com.
You know, I'll tell you something, Evan. One blog that I might start up, I may actually start up multiple blogs.
Can you handle multiple blogs?
I believe so.
Wow.
But one of the things that I might start up along with my father, because he's the one who introduced me to this whole thing.
Okay.
Buffets.
Ooh,
yes.
I like that idea.
Now, here's the thing. I know that you, and you know, this is for the benefit of our listeners who may not know this, you're a relatively picky eater. Is that correct?
Well, yeah, that is correct. I like what I like. I like very simple things. Okay. I like kid things. That's very true.
So, if you don't mind, I'd like to digress a little bit here.
Digress
and talk
away.
Talk about buffets.
Okay.
Just a little bit.
Go for it.
Just a little bit. Because what I'm curious about here is what your take is on the buffet. As someone who is a picky eater, you know, someone who doesn't, you know, maybe someone who maybe won't eat everything in the buffet.
Right.
Right. What do you think of buffets? Are they a good thing?
Oh, absolutely. But buffets, I mean, they're – I don't want to say they're my life, but I mean when you don't know what you want to eat and there's only certain things that you will eat and you're tired of those certain things, what do? You take a little bit of all of those certain things. Mm. You go to a buffet.
That's right.
Buffet, to me, I mean, it's oxygen. I need my buffets. I love going back for seconds and thirds and fourth. And truth be told, I usually only go a couple of times.
Right.
I really do not eat my share, but it's nice knowing you can. And the free fountain drinks. And,
yes,
and not just, you know, a lot of places give free fountain drinks now, but I like being able to get them myself. I don't have to wait to catch the waiter and, you know, if they get annoyed, can I have another soda? Can I have another soda? And this and that. I love buffets. They're necessary.
I completely agree. You know, this is interesting. I wasn't sure if you were going to like them or not, to be honest with you, and I'm excited that you do. What I think we should do, and ladies and gentlemen, this is something to look forward to. In the next podcast, perhaps, we will have an expert buffet person.
An expert?
Here, my father. But an expert buffet person who may very well be able to shed some light on why buffets are the amazing things that they are. He is someone who has a fantastic theories, really, about buffets, about why they are the great things that they are.
For the benefit of our listeners, you know, Michael's father, Phil Feldman, is the six-time, I'm not kidding about this, the six-time former Las Vegas shrimp cocktail eating champion. Six-time former Las Vegas shrimp cocktail eating champion. So he knows a lot about cheap food. He knows a lot about buffets. I'd be curious to really learn from his wisdom.
I think we should. So look forward to that on the next podcast.
On the next Mike and Nev show, absolutely. We'll see if we can get him on for next time. If not, we'll definitely – this will be a topic that we definitely address later on.
And if nothing else, I'll imitate his voice. So that'll be good.
That'll be good. Maybe imitate his eating habits too.
Oh,
you know, maybe talk with like a mouthful of shrimp in your mouth as you kind of go.
Well, I've done that before.
Yeah, have you done that before?
Yeah,
okay,
you know,
we'll see how that works.
I did win the contest one year.
Well, that's all. So you cheated to win the contest.
Ladies and gentlemen, don't listen
you
to this
cheated to win the contest. That's all, the whole
Anyways,
other,
okay.
other stuff. So okay. Now we want to go into what we call little things that matter. Little things that matter with Mike and Nev. We want to take a few things, big news that's kind of happened for the past week, and really just kind of get some thoughts, shed some more light. And topic number one, Jennifer Aniston now dating John Mayer. Mike, your thoughts?
That is really, you know, it's crazy to me. The thing with Jennifer Aniston is, I can't figure out if she is just totally lost now, you know, after the whole Brad Pitt thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if she's, I mean, John Mayer? John Mayer?
I don't see it personally, but then again, I didn't see Vince Vaughn either. That's true.
That's true. Or Ashton Kutcher, for that matter.
He dated Ashton Kutcher?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Jennifer Aniston.
We were on two different pages.
Not Demi Moore.
Demi Moore.
Which I don't understand.
I'm talking about older women.
Go ahead. But what was interesting is, you know, on my last blog at nevdog.blogspot.com, I was talking about going through an issue of OK Magazine, fine publication, and it was talking about, and this is just a couple weeks ago, talking about Jennifer Aniston and Orlando Bloom. And I cannot tell you how many emails and text messages I got from readers saying, Nevin, you know, get in with the times. It's Jennifer Aniston and John Mayer now. This was at the time, a week before. Okay, so Jennifer Aniston is making her rounds. I mean, after Brad Pitt, there was Vince Vaughn. After Vince Vaughn, there was Orlando Bloom. After Orlando Bloom, there was John Mayer. And there was another, I think a model was rumored in there somewhere in between men two or three. And the thing is, I understand after a marriage, you know, you break up, it's devastating, you know, you don't want to jump right into a serious relationship. I understand that, you know, and it makes perfect sense. You know, she should date who she wants to date. But you have to ask yourself, is she having commitment issues? It's a valid question.
I think so.
I mean, Vince Vaughn, I didn't see that.
Yeah,
really
that is a little rough. But yeah, I think she is.
That's
our conclusion. Okay. Next topic, Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie have confirmed, I believe it was a leak by Jack Black on a show.
I think so.
Have confirmed that they're having twins. Nevin?
Okay. I'm all for them procreating, okay? You know, Brad Pitt, Angelina, congratulations to you. You know, was his babies, you know, 5 and 6 for Angelina, if you include the adopting kids. But has anyone in this relationship heard of contraceptives? I mean, this is going on now. 5 or 6 kids now, and I think they have, one kid, Shiloh, who is both hers and his, if I recall.
Sure.
But this is going to be like more kids in the way for Brad and Angelina. And it was funny, you know, when we're talking about Jennifer Aniston, one of the things, their issues that led to their breakup was that Brad Pitt wanted kids and Jennifer Aniston didn't. And I'll say this for Brad. I mean, he's stuck to his guns. He wants kids, and, you know, he's with a woman who, besides being one of the most beautiful women in the world, okay, obviously does not care about contraceptives because, you know, now she's on kids 5 and 6, and she's only, like, in her early 30s. This is when does it end?
Well, you know, there is that woman, I'm forgetting where, who's on something like her 18th child.
The one in Arkansas.
Yeah, Arkansas, that's right.
Well, all names that start with the letter J.
Unbelievable.
That is just weird.
But, you know, the thing with Angelina Jolie is, I say, you know, they are wealthy beyond belief.
This is true.
They're also both, I mean, for what it is, into humanitarian stuff, which is good, you know, and they're into all that. So, you know, what I say, honestly, power to them. That's my opinion. If they want kids and they can handle it and they can bring kids, you know, or they can give kids a good life and a happy, you know, happy time, I'm all for it.
I just, one more thing about this. I totally agree with you. Just one thing. Give your kid a semi-normal name. Now I speak from experience. My name is Nevin. You know, people get it wrong all the time. Kevin, Devin, Evan, Dennis one time. Very, very strange. You got Maddox, you got Pax, you got Shiloh. I'm scared to think what they're going to name these kids.
Wait, your name's not Devin?
There you go. See, that's exactly my point. Exactly my point. Give them a name they can live with. That is my thought. Topic number 3.
Okay.
This is exciting. This is exciting, exciting news. Okay. This is huge. Okay. Woody Allen's new movie, scheduled to come out next year, entitled Vicky Cristina Barcelona, will include I'm like jumping for joy about this. It's going to include a lesbian sex scene between get this, Scarlett Johansson and Penelope Cruz. A lesbian sex scene between Scarlett Johansson and Penelope Cruz. Mike, your thoughts?
Sorry, I was kind of off there for a second.
It was hard for me to get through.
That is maybe the best news that's come out of the entertainment industry in maybe ever.
Especially coming off the strike.
That is extremely exciting. I mean, Woody Allen, you know, we all know about his weird relationship issues. Oh. We all know about his
Is he still dating the adoptive daughter?
I think it's more than dating.
Are they married now?
I believe so.
But
maybe.
Wow.
But, you know, we'll have to get corrections.
I didn't know that was legal.
Oh, well, wow. It's Woody Allen. But yeah, you know, it's pretty amazing. You know, the thing is, I've always loved Woody Allen. I mean, his movies, I've always thought he was a great artist. He is now one of the great men of all time.
Really, if you think about it, up there with Hugh Hefner when you talk about great social scientists of the world. When you really stop to think. And here's the thing. You and I are different. I hate Woody Allen movies, okay? I find them boring. I don't get them. They don't hold my attention. Even some of his later ones, which, you know, I think are trying to appeal to more of a mainstream person like myself, it's just not working. This, to me, makes up for all of it. I am the first one in line. Probably not going to bring the girlfriend. It's just a little strange. I think she trusts me. It's a little odd. I think it's something that, you know, you just kind of enjoy on your own. But this makes up for all of them. Scarlett Johansson, you know, formerly considered one of the best women in the world, most beautiful, I should say. Penelope Cruz, the two of them together, I'm excited.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'll just say, you know, if you want to see a collection of creepy men in one place at one time,
and it's not a porn theater.
Right, and it's not – right. It's not a porn theater or a strip club. You know, go see this movie.
That's what I said. There you go.
Okay. So next up, a new 90210 spinoff. Jenny Garth is confirmed in the spinoff as a guidance counselor at the high school.
This is exciting. First, I love the little intro song. Where does it go? Like, da-na-na-na, da-na-na-na. I love that. It's just great to me. I mean, just catchy. And it never gets old. A new 90210 spinoff that's going to have Jenny Garth as a guidance counselor. Now, this was interesting because in the early years of the show, I mean, she was considered the school slut, slept with everyone, you know, just, you know, this guy, that guy. I don't know if there's a pregnancy scare somewhere in there. And now she's going to be guiding the new kids of 90210. I don't know how I see this going in a lot of ways, but I definitely want to watch the show.
Oh, absolutely. It's a must-see. I mean, it's a must-see situation. You know, the thing is, too, it's been too long since 90210.
It really has.
I mean, you know, honestly, both Nevin and I, you know, from Los Angeles or, you know, from California, you know, we've both been able to experience Beverly Hills before.
And I'll tell you something. It's really not far off from what the show kind of portrayed. I mean, they definitely had, you know, some weird issues. The clothing – and you really – a real quick point in 90210.
Sure.
You really have to credit 90210 from getting women's clothing out of the baggy sweater age of the 1980s into the mid-drift, you know, tight jeans, top shorts that we loved in the 1990s. I mean, I think to me, 90210 was solely responsible for that revolution.
Thank God for the spellings. I'll tell you that. Oh. You know, it's great stuff. I mean, 90210 really, it's you know, way past when it should have been back. Mm-hmm. It's going to be back.
Exactly. And the thing is, I mean, like when I think the show ended, I think around 2000, so it was on for about 10 years.
Right.
And I think by the end, it definitely had run its course. I mean, half the cast had left. Mm-hmm. Even some of the stars they brought on, you know, later on, like Tiffany Amber Thiessen, you know, she left the show. So I think it was time for it to kind of be done with. But I think 8 years and maybe nine by the time it gets out, that's a good long period to really kind of get the magic back, kind of get the popularity back. You know, it's going to bring in all the old fans, you know, from who previously watched the show. Show, bring in a whole new generation of fans. This is going to work. This thing has legs for sure.
Absolutely. That's very exciting.
And our final topic, it's not David versus Goliath. It's David versus David. American Idol finale next week will feature David Archuleta versus David Cook in a battle of the Davids. Mike.
Well, let me just say about this to begin here. American Idol is just something I don't get. I will say that right now. American Idol is something I just, as a talent competition, that I am utterly baffled by. I don't understand the appeal. I don't understand the fact that they're pretending that these people are talent. Regardless, though, David versus David couldn't be better, right? It's kind of a cool idea.
Well, I think the show needs it. I think even though the show is the number one most popular show on television
today,
maybe
the most influential show of all time.
I think that very good point. It needs something new because I'm with you. I saw one season, the one with Clay Aiken versus Ruben Studdard.
Yes.
It was fun. It was nice. But to me, it's just more of the same, you know. Top two or three or four are going to be stars no matter what. It just it kind of bores me, you know, to the end. But I think the show definitely needed something new, something fresh. And a David versus David showdown, it just might be it. Just give it the shot in the arm to make sure that it keeps successful.
Indeed. I mean, you know, the thing is what's amazing to me about American Idol is the fact that I think out of all the American Idols, and indeed all of like the, you know, like final three people or four people, How many of them have actually gone on to be successful?
A fair amount, actually. I mean,
really successful. Like, you know, what they're touting on that show.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I kind of have to disagree with you. I mean, if you think about it, you have Kelly Clarkson, mm-hmm. the first American Idol winner, yes. And she's going to, I mean, she's struggling.
She's been great.
She's doing very well. You have that, Chris Dougherty? The rock star who's been doing really well. And what was the one?
It was like seventh or something.
Yeah, it was a big upset. Yeah. You know, Jennifer Hudson, who went on to win an Academy Award. She was on American Idol, that was another person who was upset. Clay Aiken has had some number one record. Carrie Underwood. Here's my thing of Carrie Underwood. Okay. I actually, during the Carrie Underwood season, I admit I did catch the final two or three episodes. Okay. I thought she beautiful girl, had a great voice. One of the things I really liked about her was sort of the farmland girl appeal that she kind of carried even at the end of the show. And now you kind of look at her and you see these magazines, Carrie Underwood's lost 20 pounds in 15 days.
Right.
She looks like every other beautiful singer, and that kind of disappoints me because it takes away.
Absolutely. You know, the thing is, reality shows, I mean, it really is, it has become so much of a cookie cutter thing, and the entertainment industry in particular, especially the music industry, you know, it's as much about your look as it is about your actual musical talent. This is why, and I'm just going to digress a tiny bit here, I am very excited that on America's Next Top Model, in something like the 85th cycle of America's Next Top Model, a plus-size model actually won the whole thing.
Did she?
She actually did. I'm forgetting her name.
I don't watch the show, so it bores me a tear.
I'm just saying.
You may be the only man in this world who watches that show.
I had an ex-girlfriend who loved it. But regardless, I'm just saying, it's one of these things where, good, someone who actually is a normal-looking person won a reality show.
And that's why I like Carrie Underwood, because to me she was more of a normal-looking person.
Right.
But then once she got out to stardom, the stardom society says, no, you don't have the look. You must lose 20 pounds. She wasn't fat to begin with.
You know?
She looked fine.
See, like, if it was Ruben Studdard.
There you go. The boy is 350 pounds.
He had
to lose weight.
There you go.
I mean, dude. I mean, like, I think he's lost 100 pounds now or so.
That's excellent.
I know you like that Alabama cooking, wherever he was from. Was he from? Wherever
he was. I don't know.
Something. He wore the shirts, that had the area code, But that's another thing. He all he wore was jerseys. He never wore a suit, because, hard to find those suits. It's tough.
Yes, it is. It is tough.
But so David versus David showdown on American Idol. We'll see what happens. Mike and I probably won't watch. There you go. So as we end this show, I want to remind you two things. One, don't forget to check out our sponsor, nevdog.blogspot.com. That's nevdog.blogspot.com. I keep promoting that because we don't currently have any paid sponsors, so we got to push for what we can have. But also, if you have a comment, a question, or a concern, or you want to see a topic on the show, send us an email, mikeandnev@yahoo.com. Did you actually know we had an email address?
I actually did not know
you did. Well, that's a big thing. mikeandnev@yahoo.com.
Wow.
mikeandnev@yahoo.com. Check it out. Send us a note. If we like your letter or we think it's funny, we will read it right here on Things That Matter with Mike and Nev. Send us a note. Tell us what you think.
And you know what? If we don't like your letter and we think it's just kind of cruel, we'll probably read it too, just to make fun of it.
Why not? It's fair game. We need topics.
Indeed.
I mean? The buffet thing is great, but you know what? We got to keep it going.
We do.
Kind of keep it reeling. Hope you enjoyed this first episode of Things That Matter with MikeandNev.com.
It's been a blast.
Check it out. Show your friends. Keep us going. Until then, we're out.